So our gospel lesson presents us with a paradox. When Jesus is baptized, the heavens are torn apart, are ripped apart. But in that cataclysmic moment of things being ripped and torn apart, only Jesus hears or sees this happening. And he's the only one that hears the voice. And the voice that comes out of this ripping and tearing is a tender voice that says, "You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased." And so you have an image in those very few verses of violence on the one hand and tenderness and gentleness on the other. What is Mark trying to tell us when he brings together this paradoxical situation of violence and tenderness, of drama and subtlety? What's that all about? Well, as I pondered all that, I thought of another paradox that I've come across recently. It's the paradox of LIGO, L-I-G-O. I wrote about it in my Worshipful Thoughts on Friday and invited anyone who read my Worshipful Thoughts to do a little homework. Go Google those four letters and see what you come up with. Did anybody do that? Pam did. All right. A little bit. All right. Well, that was an experiment. I thought it would just be fun. So LIGO stands for laser interferometer gravitational wave observatory. And basically, LIGO detects the most extreme, the most violent events that take place in our universe. And yet, at the same time, it is the most exquisitely subtle measuring device. There's basically two of them, one in Louisiana and one in the state of Washington, made in the shape of an L. Each arm is 4 kilometers long, and this observatory has absolutely no windows. It doesn't look visually at all. It's filled with mirrors that are all encased in a vacuum, and laser, that's the L part, a laser shines a beam down through the mirrors, down through the two tunnels. And basically the way it works, I mean, very simplistically, is there's an L, and at the center, it shines a beam this way and this way, a laser beam, out to the end, which then bounces the beam back. And if the universe is what you might call a normal state, the two lasers will meet again precisely, and it says nothing super violent is happening. But if something has happened, then there's a little blip, or what they call an interference pattern. And what that means is something incredibly huge has exploded somewhere in the universe. To detect that event, you need something incredibly precise, which is what LIGO is. Because the little blip that it detects is no taller than 1/10,000th the width of a proton. So you start with a hydrogen atom, and at the center of a hydrogen atom is a proton. If you took that proton and sliced it 10,000 times, the blip would be one of those 10,000th of a thing. On August 17th, two neutron stars, which are just one level down from black holes, collided and merged many billions of light years away. That violent collision shook the space-time continuum, creating a gravitational wave that made a blip at LIGO. And the thing that excited astronomers, because when they detect black holes, there's no light emitted, so there's nothing ever to see. But with two neutron stars, you could see it. And so they did their triangulation, they figured out the area of the sky it might appear in, and they got the Hubble telescope to slew around and look, and the Hubble telescope saw it. Now that all might sound rather abstract, but my Sky and Telescope article where this was written said, "A new age of astronomy has just dawned." Now astronomers are usually a rather reticent crew who don't wax eloquent and don't become bombastic. But astronomers are absolutely ecstatic Because now with LIGO, they have a new way of seeing the universe that gives them a whole new flood of information. Like the flood of information that came when Galileo invented the first telescope back in 1610. A whole new way that's really rather paradoxical. When the universe has universe-shaking events, they can only be detected by this incredibly subtle observatory, LIGO. 1/10,000th of a proton in order to detect massive things. Well, in its own way, that is precisely what Mark is trying to describe in the baptism of Jesus. Something universe-shaking that's very subtle. So when Mark tells us that the heavens have been torn apart, that the universe has been shaken as Jesus is baptized, and yet nobody sees it, nobody hears it, except Jesus. Because in effect, Jesus is LIGO. Jesus' heart is so precisely attuned to the heart of God, they are one. They are one all the way through. So that Jesus hears what the Creator is saying. And what the Creator is saying at the very core of everything is love. You are the Beloved. You are my Son. With you I am well pleased. At the center of all the noise, all the hubbub, all the violence of this world, the voice of the Creator is saying, I love you. In the ancient Jewish tradition, there was this idea that when God speaks, all that human beings can ever hope to hear is the echo of a whisper. What in Hebrew is called the bat kol, the echo of a whisper. Jesus hears the bat kol in this story, and a new age opens. Jesus embodies the energy of God's love that creates the universe, that holds the universe, and that gradually transforms this ever-evolving universe. That's what this story is telling us. It's so incredible, and it's so subtle. Now, in biblical faith, we too are actually one with God. That's what that Genesis passage is telling us. The goodness of creation flows from the very heart of God's love. All of creation really is one with God in love. We are one with God in love. Love is at the core of our being. But we lose complete sight of that. We don't hear that. We get distracted by all the vibrations, all the noise, all the stuff going on around us and within us. For us, that noise is fear, anxiety, hate, resentment, inequality, injustice, cruelty. Add to the list. It makes it nearly impossible for us to hear or to see what is actually present here all the time, but it's so, so subtle. We can't feel or hear or see gravitational waves, and yet those incredibly powerful forces flow right through us, much like God's love, and we don't detect it. But the gospel tells us we are loved. We are the Beloved. Jesus' whole ministry was speaking and embodying and acting out that love to persons and to the society in which he lived. And if you remember, that's what got him killed. We human beings reject, push away the truth that's at the very core of our being, that we are the Beloved. We reject ourselves, we do harm to ourselves, we do harm to others. And that is the strangest paradox of all. But there Jesus was, hanging on the cross, because he lived love. So the gospel comes down through time, asking the question, will we change? Will we repent? Will we turn around? Well, where do we go? Where do we go to change? Where do we go to repent? Where do we go to hear the echo of a whisper that's at the core of our very being? Well, that's what church is for. We're like a big telescope, a big LIGO. The church is here to call us into communion with one another, to help us to see, to help us to listen, to help us change, to help us respond to the call of love. Whether it's a tag sale, Thanksgiving angels, a memorial service, a church school, a worship service. And that's why we share in communion. To receive that love in a symbolic way into the core of our being so that we will open our hearts. So that we will be able to listen a bit more deeply. Maybe we'll even hear that bot call, that echo of a whisper. And maybe it will change us. And a new day dawns for us, for our community, for our world, through us. All that in the Gospel of Mark.